I have purchased a ton of photography gear over the years. I've wasted a lot of money, but I've pretty much got it dialed in now where I'm really happy with my setup. I want to talk about some of the gear I'm using so that maybe you guys can get some advice on some nice gear if you're looking for something new. What's going on, everybody? It's your host, Austin James Jackson. We're back with another episode of the Learn Landscape Photography Podcast. Really excited to be here today. And in this podcast, I've been thinking about doing this for a while. And I finally, on this, It's like a Wednesday afternoon. I decided to just send it. We're talking about photography gear, especially specifically landscape photography gear. I've purchased so much stuff over the years. And honestly, there's so much crap that I've wasted my money on. But there's a lot of stuff that is really good. So I wanted to talk about some of my favorite gear in today's video. Now, I did want to mention before we started, none of this is sponsored. None of these companies know I'm talking about their gear. And I'll talk about gear that's both good and gear that's bad. And additionally, the only gear in this video that I'm going to talk about that I did not pay for, that I didn't pay full price for, is going to be the tripods and the filters from Slick and Hoya. I am an ambassador with them, so I use their gear. And I do really like their gear. I'll talk a little bit more about it. But I did just want to mention I am an ambassador for them, so I did get that stuff for free. But I really love it, and I really recommend it to all my clients and to you guys. So we'll jump into that. But everything else I'm talking about in this video, I paid full price for. And I've tried other competing products for a lot of this stuff, and I just find these things to work the best. I'll explain it in today's podcast episode. So let's start from the bottom up here. Let's talk about backpacks first. When it comes to photography backpacks, there is more options than you really need out there. You know, there is so many different options, and different backpacks are going to suit different people well. I'm going to talk about backpacks for landscape photographers because that's what this podcast is about, and that's what most of you guys do. But if you take other kinds of photos, there might be a better backpack out there. Now, the most popular landscape photography backpack, in my opinion, is the F-Stop bags. F-Stop has their Dura Diamond bags. I'm sure you've seen it. They look really cool. They look really rugged. And I used an F-Stop bag for quite some time. Now, I switched my bag and I am now using, which I've been using for quite some time, probably about over a year, maybe 2 years now, I've been using a Shimoda bag. I'm using a Shimoda Action X. I'm using the 50 liter. Now, there's a few reasons why I switched. First of all, I will say F-Stop does make a really nice bag. It is durable. That thing is really durable. The Dura Diamond bags, at least, are waterproof. They're like really thick denier fabric. They're ripstop, all the good stuff. You can really drag them through some tough conditions, and they make them in really large sizes. I switched because those F-Stop bags were not comfortable for me. There was two main problems. Number one, I'm a relatively taller and skinny guy. I mean, I wouldn't say I'm like overly skinny, but I'm like definitely a small waisted person. I wear like a size 30 waist and like a 32 or 34 length. So I'm kind of taller and have a smaller waist. Now, that seems like a weird thing to tell you on my landscape photography podcast here, but I'm telling you that because the problem I had with the F-Stop Dura Diamond bags is that even at the minimum, like adjustment tightened down, I couldn't get the hip belt as tight as I wanted to. Now, I have a sore back a lot of times, and so I like to put a lot of the weight on my hips instead of the shoulders. So this was a problem. If I was out shooting somewhere where I was wearing a down jacket and a rain jacket on top and I had a lot of thick layers on, I could tighten the hip belt as much as I needed to. But if I'm out like in the desert here and I'm wearing shorts and a t-shirt, I couldn't quite tighten that F-Stop bag around as tight as I wanted to. Additionally, the second problem with the bag was the shoulder straps were not comfortable. And I think that at first I thought, why am I the only person complaining about this? And then I looked into it and I realized there's other people complaining about it too. The shoulder straps are just like, it seemed to be like basic foam. Like there was nothing, you know, there was no tech. It just seemed like it was a basic foam strap. So I was noticing that after I was doing, like, you know, I'd go on a 3 or 4 day photo trip, not backpacking, but just like 3 or 4 day photo trip, hiking in and out to and from my car, hiking a few miles a day. And my shoulders would be like killing me, like so red. Again, I don't know if that's because, you know, I don't have a lot of meat on my bones here. So maybe it was really just digging in, where if I had a little more meat on the bones here, maybe I would have more padding. But for me, it just wasn't comfortable. And I've heard other people say that it wasn't comfortable either. So with that being said, I switched to Shimoda. Now, I tried Shimoda because, in my opinion, they were really the only other rugged-ish landscape photography backpack. Their Action X series is like their outdoor design bags. They certainly aren't quite as rugged as the F-stop bags, but they still were pretty rugged. And it had a roll top closure at the top, which I really liked, because if you haven't had a roll top bag before, they're nice because they give you a little bit more storage space, because I can like stuff a jacket in there. And I can, if I don't have a lot of stuff in there, I can roll the top 6 or 7 times and close it. If I have a lot of stuff in there, I can roll the top like twice and add myself a lot more space. So I liked that aspect. There's some nice pockets in the Shimoda that the F-stop doesn't have, and a little bit more organization in a lot of ways. And additionally, the hip belt I was able to tighten all the way around. And also the hip belt on the Shimoda is just like a standard buckle, like a clip. On the F-stop bag, I don't know what they were trying to do with it, but it's like they use this like metal thing it's really hard to explain. You have to look it up online, but they try to do too much with the hip belt, and they have this weird connection, which I didn't like at all. On the Shimoda bag, they just have a standard clip, which was nice. The hip belt is a little bit like wider, almost like it wraps around more. And there's actually less padding, but the padding is more comfortable. And same thing on the shoulder straps. The bag was a little bit more adjustable, I found. So for that reason, I really liked it. In terms of the internal storage, it's basically the same thing. The Shimoda opens from the back, like what's pushing against your back. And the F-stop does the same, but the F-stop bag flips open, whereas the Shimoda one like rolls open like a door almost. So either way, both those bags are solid. I've heard good things about other companies, like the Low Pro bags, I've heard good things about, but every time I look at them, they just do not look rugged. A lot of the places I'm going, I'm dragging my gear through canyons and off trail, beating through the bushes, and the bags just don't look like the fabric is that thick. And I don't want to have to worry about my bag getting a big rip in it the first or second time that I use it. So for that reason, I'd really only would recommend the F-stop or the Shimoda bags. Again, for me, I like the Shimoda bags a lot better. Let me know though, if you guys have a preference or another opinion on it. I'd love to hear it, because I am curious. That is my way too long talk about backpacks. Let's talk about the next piece of gear, which is obviously probably the most important, which is the camera itself. I shoot with a few different cameras. I shoot most of my landscapes that you see on like Instagram and my website. I'm shooting those with a Sony a7 R4. Absolutely love it. That thing is a beast in low light. It's 60 megapixels. I don't have enough good things to say about that camera. The battery life is great compared to my old camera, which I generally shoot a lot of my video stuff for like YouTube and stuff on, which is the A7 R2, 40 megapixel camera. It's also a great camera. The battery life isn't that good. That's the one downside to it. But if you're looking to pick up like a really nice camera that's used, that's going to be probably less than $1,000, the Sony a7 R2 honestly is a beast if you can get past having to carry a few extra batteries here and there. Additionally, I use a GoPro. I think it's like a Hero 10 for my YouTube stuff, for a lot of the backpacking stuff. I haven't used it as much lately just because I've been really loving carrying around the two cameras, because you get so much better quality from that full frame sensor than you do from that GoPro. But that's another thing that I occasionally use to shoot some videos as well. On my camera, I use you've maybe seen me make some videos about it before, but I use what's called a camera cuff. It's made by Peak Design. Peak Design has a great system, whether you want a cuff or you want just a standard neck strap. It's a nice system to be able to easily take on and off your cuff or your neck strap or whatever accessory you want on there. Those are fantastic. I would highly recommend getting a camera cuff. Or a neck strap if that's what you like. I think the cuff is so much better for landscapes because it doesn't get in my way as much as the neck strap, but it's totally up to you as to which one you want. The one product I will say by Peak Design that is not good, in my opinion, that a lot of people like is those Peak Design capture clips that go on your backpack, like on the shoulder pad or on the like shoulder strap, I guess. Those, if you have any camera of any size whatsoever, your shoulder is going to be killing you after having it on there. I've bought like two or three of those capture clips thinking that they're going to be different because they keep releasing newer versions. They're all just terrible. I cannot stand using them. So I wouldn't recommend getting one of those, especially if you have a larger camera setup. Additionally, the main reason why I have the Sony a7R IV is I feel like the size and weight is really compact for the large megapixel count that it gives you and the high dynamic range. Additionally, when we talk about lenses, everything I purchase when it comes to photography all has weight in mind. Now, the reason that weight is so important for me and why I think it should be important for you too is because as landscape photographers, generally we are hiking, we are walking to our locations. And I remember I went backpacking a few years back with some other photographers, and there was like a couple of them that had 60 plus pound packs for like a 3-day trip. And they were like gassed after this backpacking trip. And, you know, I was there with all the camera gear I needed, and my bag was like 27 or 26 pounds or something like that. And so it's a much more manageable weight. Even if you're not into backpacking, it's just so much easier to do hikes when you have less weight in your camera gear. So with that being said, the lenses that I buy, I pay a lot of attention to the weight. Most of the glass that I shoot is Tamron because Tamron seems to have those nice lightweight and yet high quality lenses. So first of all, when I'm out shooting, I'm always bringing my Tamron 17-28 f2.8. Fantastic lens, f2.8 all the way across. Great for night photos. It's really light and compact. So I love that lens. Additionally, now if I'm backpacking, the only other lens I have with me is the Tamron 28-200. It's like an f2.8-5.6. That is a great lens for backpacking because it is also pretty light and it covers a huge range. I can get away when I'm backpacking with just those two lenses. If I'm not backpacking, I do carry a few more stuff. I drop that 28-200 to leave that at home. And instead I bring a Tamron 28-75, which is f2.8 all the way across. Again, another great lens. And then right now I have a Sony 70-300. That's like an f4.5-5.6 or maybe 6.3. That's a nice lens. It is a little bit heavy. I think Tamron makes a really similar lens that had they had it out when I purchased that lens, I probably would have bought the Tamron instead. But I don't really want to trade it in at this point, but that Sony is nice. And then it'd probably be like a month or two ago, I purchased a Sigma 150-600. That lens is a big boy. You would not want to carry that thing very far, but I have liked it for capturing some telephoto stuff close to the car. And I'm planning on hopefully heading out to the Yellowstone area to capture some animals this year. So that's the reason why I got it. Definitely not a necessity, but I do really like it for some certain landscapes. So those are pretty much all the lenses that I use. I want to take a break from today's episode and talk about a really cool opportunity if you are a beginner or intermediate photographer that is really serious about taking better photos and getting better at photography. Now, usually about 4 to 6 times a year, I teach in-person workshops around the Western United States centered around helping you become a better photographer. Now, my workshops are kept to just 5 people, which means that you will get plenty of one-on-one attention. So regardless of your skill level, whether you just picked up your first camera or whether you've been shooting for 15 years, I promise you, you're going to get so much out of it. I'm going to cater the class directly to you. Best of all, after the workshop, I'm going to add you to my alumni group on Facebook where you can get literally weekly image feedback. We can connect at all times. When the workshop is over, it's not done. I'm still going to be your mentor. I'm going to be there to help you and become better at photography. Now, like I said, if you're serious about becoming better at photography, don't wait any longer. Register for one of my workshops this year. You can visit austinjamesjackson.com/workshops. That link will be down below in the podcast description that you can click on as well. I really can't wait to see you guys out there. Now, working our way down the line here, I'm trying to think what else. I guess we should talk about filters. For filters, in my opinion, you don't need those like graduated ND and the slide-in filters and all these like crazy things that just take up space in your backpack and they're heavy and you hardly ever use them. So I keep things simple. Generally with me, I carry a circular polarizer. I have, I think it's like a 77 millimeter and then, or maybe it's a 72. I can't remember, but either way I use little step up rings off Amazon. So I only need one circular polarizer for all my lenses. So I get a step up ring for like, if I had a lens with a smaller, opening, I would just get a step up ring so I can put that larger filter on and then use it. I don't want to carry a bunch of filters. So I'm trying to carry as little as I can. So I use a circular polarizer. I like the Hoya HD3 polarizer. Hoya has some great polarizers on their website. And they have, I think they have three polarizers, and the way they described it to me is they were like good, better, best, with the HD3 being the best. Really the best thing about it is that it's really thin. So if you're shooting on like a wide angle and you want to use it, you won't see that vignetting as bad as you would on maybe one of the cheaper versions. But either way, I really like the Hoya stuff. And if you use Jackson 15, if you're trying to buy any of this stuff at checkout for either Hoya or Slick, you can get 15% off, which is just a random little side note. Again, not sponsored. I just wanted to mention that because if you're buying it, you might as well get 15% off, right? And then it buys me like a cup of coffee because I get a really small kicker on that too. Anyways, we'll move on. Additionally, I use a couple of the ND filters from Slick. I honestly just carry, it's a 5-stop and I carry a 10-stop and that's it. I rarely use them. I honestly use them more now for video for like YouTube than I do for photos, but occasionally I'll have something where I want to darken it, but it is pretty rare that I want to shoot a daytime exposure more than 1 second long. So I'm usually not using those ND filters that much, but they are nice to have because occasionally good opportunity will present itself. Now, when it comes to tripod, I'm using the Slick. I have a few different tripods. They've sent me a few to use and a few that I use in my office. But the ones that I use in the field mostly are going to be the Slick Carbon Fiber 833. That's the CF833 on their website. If you're in the United States, slickusa.com is where you go to get those. Again, same discount code, Jackson15. But the 833 is nice because it is larger, like it's plenty big that I'm like 6'1" or so. And it's large enough that, you know, I can look straight at my camera without having to raise the neck up. The legs are big enough that it's sturdy, but it's not too terribly heavy. It ends up being like, I want to say it's somewhere in the ballpark of 4 or 5 pounds, which for backpacking is way too much. But for just regular photography where I'm just like hiking 3 or 4 miles, it's totally fine. I'll bring it a lot of times with me, especially if, you know, my wife's going with me and I can make her carry my water or something, then I'll bring the larger tripod. But for those times where I don't bring that larger tripod, I will bring my smaller tripod, which I used to use the Slick Carbon Fiber 633. Recently, they sent me the 634, really similar. It's just four leg sections instead of 3 leg sections. There's only 3 legs, no matter which tripod you get. But that tripod is really nice because it is really lightweight. When it comes to the ball head, I use just one of Slick's standard, like regular size, like $80 to $90 ball heads on the larger tripod. But on the smaller tripod, I really love that ball head. And the ball head that I use is it's called the SBH-180DS. I don't know what that all stands for, but basically this is just a compact ball head. This thing is honestly so underrated. I cannot tell you how many photographers come to my workshop and it's like my pet peeve. If you're listening to this and you're coming to one of my workshops, do this and it will drive me crazy. The people that adjust the knobs on their tripod and they don't really know what each knob does, but they just like try loosening stuff to see what happens. That is how accidents happen with your camera. The problem with most ball heads is you have like usually 3 different knobs or sometimes even 4. So you have one knob that adjusts that allows the ball to move or not. Then you have another knob that adjusts how stiff the ball is. And then you have another knob that adjusts the like rotation of the ball head. And then you usually have a knob below that adjusts the neck of the tripod, which is different from the ball head, but they're all right next to each other. So people a lot of times get confused and they adjust the wrong things. Now, I swear we're going somewhere with this. I'm not just on a huge tangent. This ball head is really nice because it has one knob. One knob allows the ball head to move freely, sure, you don't get all this customization that you get on these other ones, but it is so easy to use. You cannot mess it up. It is just so easy to use. And the weight is so small. It's so compact. It is honestly like my favorite thing. If you guys have a, it, you can definitely use it on a larger tripod. It kind of looks a little funky because it's a little small. But if you have a smaller tripod, especially, it is, I think, the best ball head out there. It says that the maximum weight is 6.6 pounds. So make sure that you have a setup that is that light to put on it. But that is the ball head that I like to use. Now, lastly, when it comes to memory cards, I've talked about this in like another video before, but it was a while ago, so maybe you haven't seen it. But there's a lot of photographers spending way too much money on memory cards. Like, I want to say it's like Sony that sells these, like, it's like $300 or $400 memory cards, which everyone is like, oh my gosh, the speed, they're so fast. And then you don't realize that it doesn't help you if your camera can't write fast enough. Like, you're limited by your camera. So what I always recommend for memory cards, if you are someone that formats your memory cards, which I think you should be there. I know there is some people out there that they don't format their memory cards. They just leave their photos on it and then buy a new memory card. That's really expensive. But if you're not one of those people and you do format the card, what I recommend doing is looking, Google searching, what is the read and write speed of your particular camera. So search, you know, I would look up Sony A7R for write speed or read speed, figure out that speed, and then buy a memory card that matches that speed. That way you're getting the most out of the camera. And you're not, because you don't want to buy a really cheap memory card that is slower than the camera, because then the camera is limited by the speed of the memory card. But you also don't want the memory card to be so fast that you're limited by the speed of the camera. So try and get ones that line up well. That's really important when you're picking out a memory card. But that's really my only 2 cents on memory cards. I don't have any like brand affinity towards any of the popular brands. I know like SanDisk and Lexar, and there's probably a few other ones, but I think most of mine are either SanDisk or Lexar. And honestly, most of them I've just gotten by, you know, you buy a new camera on Amazon and it comes in a package, and with that package includes a memory card. Like, that's how I acquire most of my memory cards. Or I get them on sale on Black Friday or whatever. So the brand doesn't matter too much. Just make sure you check out the speed before you waste your money on a really expensive card. But I think that pretty much covers, I'm looking at my camera bag right now, that pretty much covers all of the camera gear that I carry. I don't want to talk about apparel, even though there's so many of you guys that have messaged me saying that you just really love my style out in the field. I don't want to talk about it. I'm just kidding. Literally no one has ever said they like my style. But if you do like my style, you can send me a message. I'll let you know what clothes I like to wear in the field, and what outerwear and all that good stuff. But otherwise, that covers all the camera gear that I like to use. Again, not sponsored, but just gear that I think is really, really good. Hey, seriously, if you do want to know about some outerwear stuff, shoot me a message. I'm not going to cover it on the podcast. It's a little outside of the scope of what I do. But I know a lot about rain jackets. I used to do some work for Columbia, and I learned all about rain jackets. So I know a lot about them, what the best rain jackets are and all that good stuff. So if you want to know, shoot me a message and I'll be happy to help you out. Otherwise, thank you guys so much for listening to the Learn Landscape Photography podcast. Hopefully this was helpful for you. Let me know what gear you guys like. I certainly don't think that I have the ultimate best setup ever. I'd love to hear what you guys are working with. And if you have any recommendations of gear that you think is just absolutely fantastic, let me know. And I might buy it and try it out, and I'll report back on how it is. But let me know what gear is good out there. I know there's a lot of photography gear, and you can really sink a lot of money into it. But otherwise, if there was anything I talked about in this episode that you were interested in looking at because you wanted to see what the price was or whatever, I've included some links on websites down below. Again, if you buy anything from Slick or Hoya, use Jackson15 as your discount code for 15% off. Anything else I mentioned, I have no discount code for. So you're just going to have to pay full price for it, just like me. So sorry about that. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll see you guys next time. This is Austin James Jackson. Adios.